Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hello, people.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Hand me down the shark repellent bat spray.
Hey, man, that was classic. That was classic.
I just watched that like a week ago.
Did you really?
Yeah, the old Batman 66 movie?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was just an anniversary, right?
Mm-hmm, 50 years.
That's crazy.
That's fucking scary. Yeah.
That shark that's on his leg, though.
It's like, I mean, what about the scene where
that shark was pulling my leg, the Joker?
Yeah. What about the scene where he's running around with the bomb for like 5 minutes?
Right.
It never goes off until he actually finds that place. And it always reminds me of, there's a movie with Roddy Piper called They Live, and there's this massively long fight scene in it. If you've never seen it, go to YouTube and just type in They Live fight scene. It's between Roddy Piper and Keith. I can't think of his name, but he did the voice of Spawn in the cartoon, and he was also Mary's father in Something About Mary. You know, she had a black stepdad.
Right. And I don't remember that guy's name.
Dude, Keith something. Dude, they fight for at least 8 minutes. I mean, it's a long fight scene. And every time that he's carrying that bomb, I'm always like, man, this is just so drug out. Anyway, so now that you've turned off the show, thank you guys for listening. Last week, we had a great response to the show, and we appreciate all your letters. We got a few. And I tried my best to answer them. You know, there's not a lot happening in KISS news. Andrew wasn't here last week, and we talked about the KISS cruise and the fact that they're going to be doing the set list from Creatures of the Night, the tour. And before we get started, I thought I would ask Andrew, what do you think of that?
I don't... It doesn't really exist. I'm not going to go on the cruise, so it doesn't really pertain to me, but it's all right. It's not, for some reason, I don't find it super exciting. Like, it's not going to be as good as you think it will be. Like, are they going to have, like, Vinny and Eric make up on Tommy and other Eric?
Yeah, that's the question.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to fucking happen. They're just going to have their normal makeup with the tank.
Yeah,
I'd be happy.
And it's
going to
be Creatures in its entirety because, like, nobody wants to hear fucking Danger.
No, I think it's the tour set list.
I love you, Andrew.
Ah,
he's always so right on.
It's true.
What were you saying, Joe? I'm sorry to interrupt, buddy.
No, it's the tour set list, the actual set list, not the actual album. I don't think.
Oh, well, maybe we'd get like a Cheetah, BC Rich.
Yeah.
See, we talked about that. Yeah, it would be pretty cool
in a little cut-off shirt.
Cut-off shirt.
But how, like, even if they, I don't know, how are they going to do those costumes, man? Even if they were going to do the Vinny and Eric, like, I just can't see it happening.
Yeah, is Tommy going to play, like, a Gold Jackson? Like,
it'd be really strange.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, the tank is really cool, but like Andrew said, though, I've been thinking about it all week. It's like, ooh, big deal, they're bringing the tank. You know, I mean, what else? That's the only thing about the Creatures tour that really stands out to me.
Like, would Eric have to have a foxtail? Eric Singer, but he'd have, like, a puffy foxtail on his ass?
Well, I'll tell you what, that we've got plenty of months to find out, and every time that there's some kind of a new thing announced, we'll talk about it. I will tell you guys that I am going...
Ooh. Oh, yeah, you booked it, huh?
First hand, then.
On the 21st, that's when my crew, the guys I'm going with this time, are all booking on the 21st, and hopefully we'll get the room that we want. If we don't, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's expensive, and I don't make a lot of money. So, all right, so I'll keep you informed out there if you're going to, you know, we've got 10 months. Anyway.
This will be your third cruise, right?
This will be my fourth. Yeah.
Damn, Joe.
Yeah, I know, man. And the worst part about it is I'm broke.
Are you taking Karen or what?
No, she's staying home where she belongs. I'm kidding. No.
It's a boys' cruise, huh?
It's a boys' cruise, right. Anyway.
Sounds like fun.
I'm not cutting that out either because she's got a good sense of humor. All right. let's talk about Kiss news. Sadly, we lost David Bowie.
Yes, we did.
And if you guys get the opportunity to go to kissasylum.com, there's video from Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons talking about David Bowie and his importance and stuff like that. I don't know, man. Have you guys seen these videos yet?
No, I've seen a billion tweets about Lemmy and Bowie from both Paul and Gene. It's like, geez, man. You wouldn't, I don't know. I understand the Bowie importance, but I just never thought Gene and Lemmy were that tight. I guess they were.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing. When I watched the video, and you guys could go online and watch it, I think, you know, when the cameraman walks up to Paul and there's like, I guess there's a lady with him too, and they're asking him about it, you can really see Paul's uncomfortable, you know, being in front of the camera. He was coming out of an Elton John concert, and he pretty much said the same stuff that Gene says, you know, he's an icon, he was an artist, you know, and Gino, you know, he said that Bowie was about more than fame, and it's true, you know. Back to Lemmy, though, I wanted to tell you that a buddy of mine, Bob, who actually went on the first Kiss cruise with me, he was in a band that was pretty big in the 90s, and he got to meet Lemmy, and he told me that one of the coolest things about Lemmy was that when he was standing there and he went over and he got his picture taken with him, and then Lemmy said, "Hey, you want to go play Miss Pac-Man?" And then they went and played Miss Pac-Man.
Oh, cool.
And he said that was one of the coolest thing about him was he wasn't in his head famous. You know what I mean? Is that, you know, you would walk up and go, "Hey, can I get your autograph?" And then he would go, "Yeah. Hey, let's play Pac-Man." "All right, I'll play Pac-Man with Lemmy," you know, which I think is really a great story. Anyway, also on if you go to Kissopolis, Peter Criss's a statement is on there about David Bowie. It's a little longer, of course, than Gene or Paul's statement, and it's pretty good. So I'll tell you guys, I would advise you to go there and read it. It's really good. It's about how he saw David Bowie and how it influenced him and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Also, you know, I read this thing, and I haven't gotten all the way through it, but there was a thing about, you know, David Bowie's importance to making Kiss, you know, Kiss being Kiss because of David Bowie. Do you guys agree with that?
I think he definitely had a part in it. I mean, the whole glitter rock scene did, you know, and he was the king of that to most people, you know?
Right. There's an article on Kiss Asylum. I'm still reading it because it's kind of long for me, especially I'm very busy, so I try to get a few paragraphs in and do something, and basically it breaks down, you know, how without Bowie there's no Kiss, and that's pretty cool. Also, January 15th, 1982 was the Fridays anniversary. We know when they did the Elder stuff. That's always been a very important thing to so many of us because, you know, like, I didn't even know it happened until a year later or so when I saw it on reruns, but that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, until recently, it was the only place you could see Elder footage live,
right,
you know?
Yeah, and it was live, which is even cooler.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
March 5th, Ace Frehley will be playing at the, it looks like, Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. So if you guys are out there in Beverly Hills... I don't know. It's a, you're probably like eating cheese and drinking wine or something right now. But anyway, so this week.
And Bob Kulick's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Bob Kulick.
And Paul's is coming up.
Paul's. Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the 20th, I think, right?
Yes. That is a very important day. That is always Talk Like Paul Stanley Day. Everybody does that. I'm always like, get me some tea. Yeah.
Oh, hey.
I'm not a good Paul Stanley. Although, Jody, you've been kind of on today with that, so.
Have I?
Right on. Anyway, all right, so this week's subject was Andrew's turn to pick, And Andrew picked Fraley's Comet, the first record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Nice choice, pal.
Yeah, way to go.
I'm just spicing it up.
Yeah, obviously. I got so much to talk about with this record. It was the first time I listened to it in probably a year. And, well.
You want me to be the guy that has to come out and say it?
No. Here, we'll do it together. 3, 2, okay. 1. It's awful.
It sucks.
It's fucking terrible, man. Yeah. And it's so sad because, dude, when this was new, when I was in like junior high, I fucking loved it. But I can't even imagine why I loved it, you know, other than like brand loyalty to Ace.
Yeah.
You know?
Now I have to be honest. For me, there's a few songs on here that I like.
But, I like a couple too, but.
Yeah, but most of it I don't like.
And, dude, it's. Just so much of a letdown listening to that this afternoon. Terrible.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, and I know that there's a lot of people out there right now going, what? This album's awesome. But, you gotta
try to listen to it without the nostalgia of how awesome it was when we were kids, you know? If you listen to it critically, it's terrible, dude. The production is like total reverb. It just washes over the whole album and like, I can't stand those high vocals by Todd, and I don't like Ace's leads. Like, to me, Ace's solos don't fit over this type of music as well as they do over, like, a rock and roll type of Kiss song.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't.
There's
don't know,
no
man.
Memorable just, solos.
Nah. And the parts that are memorable is when he's doing his typical licks that he does on all of his solos. Like the descending thing from Deuce was like, he does that a lot. And then obviously the classic, you know, double stop deal. But yeah, man, there's no memorable leads and I don't know, man. I don't want to be the guy that bursts everybody's bubble. But this record.
But dude, look, it's surprising because he had Eddie Kramer in, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's just generic, bro.
It is. And when you listen to it, it's got that. It definitely has that 80s sound to it, you know? I don't know. I really. When I was a kid and it came out, I listened to it and I loved it, you know?
Yeah,
but,
dude.
But, you know, now, you know, it's so many years later, you're listening to it and you're going, God, for something that it took him and his band so many years to put out, you know, you would have thought that it would have been even better.
It was at the time, though. You know what I mean? It really was really cool at the time.
It fit, right? It fit with what was going on.
I was like, man, this shit rules when I was a kid. You know, the whole Ace is back. It kicked ass. I can't handle it. It's just so terrible.
Well, what do you think, Andrew?
It's hard to see with all the hairspray. But, I didn't really like it. Too much reverb. The songs were subpar. I don't know. It's not that great.
It's terrible.
Like, I was stoked to, like, think, oh, yeah, this will be a cool topic. And then listening again,
My whole trip is like I would never listen to that kind of music by anyone else, like in a million years. And even if it is Ace and I love him, I won't listen to this record ever again.
Like listening to Trouble Walking, that's a good.
Now Trouble Walking I can deal with, but the Fraley's Comet discography under the name Fraley's Comet, it sucks, dude. And, you know, this is coming from a guy who loves Ace Frehley, so don't get me wrong, I love the guy. Those records are fucking weak.
This is your jugulator?
I guess it is. When you said we were going to do this, I was like, cool, man, I haven't listened to that record in a long time. And so I put it on this afternoon and was just cringing song to song, man. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I didn't skip anything. I wanted to really bad, though.
so did I.
And I wrote some things down, and you know, I only have little notes because it became very hard to pay attention. You know, it's just like you're listening and you're going, "Wow, he wrote that." You know, it's like talking about, you know, petting a teddy bear, and I was just like, what the hell? Anyway, I looked it up. I looked up in, you know, a little bit of information on it, which I thought was, you know, pretty interesting. One of the things was...
What's the 411, Joe?
I got it. I'm down. So Eddie Kramer and Ace
produced it. How much was bacon at this time?
How much was bacon? 30 cents a pound. Style. Yeah. No. Okay, so Eddie Kramer and Ace produced it, right? And the original Fraley's Comet was Ace, Richie Scarlett, John Regan, Arthur Steed, and Anton Figg, right? Oh, yeah, I already said Richie Scarlett. And then Richie Scarlett quit to do a solo, you know, his solo stuff, and that's when Todd Howarth came in, and the keyboard player, who was Arthur Steed, he dropped out. And I think Todd plays keyboards too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And apparently...
At least he did on... What's that?
Well, apparently, for the record, on Breakout, Something Moved, and Dolls, Gordon G.G. Gebert played all the keyboards.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it says on the Wikipedia, which I found very interesting.
That is, I didn't know. I don't really look at that record or the liner notes very often. And today I just listened to it on YouTube because I didn't feel like digging in the basement for the vinyl.
Right. One of the things that I thought was really crazy was apparently they had the original band had written and from 84 to 87 had written like all this material, and only a few of the songs even made it onto the record. Everything, you know, everything else is still unreleased. I would love to at least get the opportunity to see if any of that was Scarlett's, because Richie Scarlett I like.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah. And
I would way cooler than Todd, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why when he wound up back in Ace's band, everybody was like, yay, you know, let's...
Right.
Richie Scarlett and Ace are like, you know, two peas in a pod.
Totally.
Totally. Anyway, I think...
I never felt like Todd and Ace meshed that well, you know? Like, he's playing a Steinberger. He's like the total polar opposite of every... Like, tonally and... You know, stylistically from Ace, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Was it a Steinberger?
Yeah. I guess it was. I watched that live plus four today, yeah. Too. And man, oh man, what a bunch of. Have you ever seen that?
I'm so jealous that you have it. I have the record.
Oh, I don't have it. I watched it on YouTube. But okay. I had VHS back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
And Ace has got those silly red boots. But the worst part is like. The way that Todd Howarth like hops around all fucking weird, and then Ace starts hopping around all weird, and then a little bit later John Regan's freaking hopping around all weird, and it's like, it's very strange, man, and very off-putting. I would say it was laughable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved this shit when I was a kid, man, and it's just so mind-boggling to me that listening to this stuff today, it was just like. Just such a letdown, man.
So
I can't believe it.
Listen, I want to blow people's minds right now. So you two guys are like, I love playing guitar, and I'm not a gearhead like you guys. Like, you know, you guys know gear, and I'm not. And one of the things that I always found interesting was the fact that Ace had a tremolo system, you know, on his guitar. Okay, watch everybody out there listening. Here we go. What kind of tremolo system was it?
It was the Washburn Wonder Bar.
Yeah, it wasn't a full floor.
Nah, because with the Wonder Bar, it just bolts to the top, so you don't have to route it out at all. So you don't have to cut a big hole, which is beautiful. But at the same time, it's just like kind of neutered Ace, because his whole trip is his vibrato, you know?
Right.
And it's not the same when you're wanking on this thing as it is if you're doing it with your left hand. That's my opinion, and I think I'm right.
Left hand.
Yeah.
Well, you're left-handed.
Yes.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I knew that I could, I knew if I asked, you guys would know what it was.
I'm a bit of a gearhead. Andrew's probably a little bit more hardcore than I am.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really awesome. I remember one time I was sitting at a bar and this guy came up and he was sitting next to me and he was like, "You playing a band, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "I have the blah 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 X43825 something head on my Galleon Kruger blah blah blah." And then I just started making shit up back to him. And yeah. He was just like, "Oh man, that sounds really awesome." I was just like, "Wow, dude."
Nice.
It's like, I can't hang with you. It's like I can't have this conversation because I don't know shit, you know. I know what a SM57 is.
Right.
I know where my.
I always hated the 57s because I always felt like it was going to go down my throat, if, you know, for vocals.
Right.
It's too phallic.
Too skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know. I know where my guitar plugs. I know where I take the plug and it's insert right here. Ink. It's like, I'll tell you what. One thing though,
dude. All I heard was turn over and stick it in.
That's right.
I mean, plug it in.
Plug it in. I'll tell you this though, and I don't know if this drives you guys crazy, but the one thing that people say all the time about their guitars is that they take the cable and stick it into the input, and I'm always like, that's the output of the guitar. I don't know why I'm so anal about that, but all right, back to Ace Frehley's crappy album. No, I'm kidding.
Ah!
Exactly. Now you see on your show, by the way, there is a new Strange Ways, correct?
Yeah.
It came out last week. Yeah.
Love Gun Roundtable. Check it out.
Yep, check it out.
Featuring Andrew Kiss.
That's right, Andrew Kiss.
Kiss.
Kiss. So what do you guys think? You have anything else to add before we do the track by track?
Oh, we're doing a track by track? Shit.
Nah, just let's run it.
Let's just do it.
But
right?
let me preface it with saying that you're going to hear some things that you probably aren't going to dig if you're a big fan of the record, but don't make it, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't love Ace Frehley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah, no. We love Ace. We just...
And it is Frehley, not Frehley, damn
it. That's right. And it's just that, you know, I don't know, maybe what's really going on is that our tastes have outgrown what this was. Does that make sense?
Nah, well, I can listen to what was the Kiss record at the time was Asylum, right? I'd rather listen to that than this, and I can listen to that and enjoy it still.
Yeah, I guess
so. I don't know.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, let's just blow through these. No.
All right.
First song, Rock Soldiers.
I dig it.
I like the song.
I like this one too. I mean, you can't argue with this one. This one's great.
Right. And you ever seen the video? This is one.
Oh,
yeah. The video, mm-hmm. Doesn't it remind you kind of, sort of, like...
AC/DC?
Well, no, I was going with I Love It Loud, where they're all like...
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, they're all like...
Marching.
Yeah.
Like, mindlessly.
Yeah. I like the song. I thought it was a good... this was the second single. I liked it a lot. It's one of those, you know, when Ace writes a song like this, where it's basically all for one and one for all.
Plus, it's Ace's back, dude.
Yeah.
It's the first song on the record. It's great.
Yeah.
I still like this one. I hate this one. Yeah. But, again, I think there's way too much reverb on the drums and the guitars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it echoes all over the place.
That goes for every single one of these songs, yeah. I remember when I was a kid and figured out that, you know, the little refrain lead that he does at the beginning, when I figured that out, I thought I was really cool.
Hey, Jody, like you were 11. Really cool.
I was.
Jody,
I don't know what happened, but I used to be fucking cool,
no
dude.
No way, man. You're a modern day Arthur Fonzarelli.
Hey.
Exactly. let's see. Anything else to add about Rock Soldiers?
Nope.
Yep, me neither.
Well, not for me. I don't know.
Well, he's going to have to play without an ace in his deck from here ever after.
That's right. That's the devil does, anyway. The devil does. All right, next song, Breakout.
Probably my favorite song.
Really?
On the record.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the music of this one. And, you know, obviously it goes back to the old Eric Carr thing from the Elder sessions, but I don't like Todd Howard's. I don't like, you know, anyone who sings that high. It's not my cup of tea. I don't like those kind of vocals.
And then the song wound up on Revenge, right? No vocals.
Yeah, that's Car Jam.
Yeah, and I guess it was
Bruce took out Ace's parts and did his own.
Yeah, you know, that kind of that rubbed me the wrong way. I always thought it was disrespectful.
I just remember thinking, "Cool, we'll get some cool Eric Car Jam," and I'm like, "Why are they doing Breakout?" Like, I didn't know that it was an Elder demo, and at the time, I don't think. So yeah. I thought it was odd that they were doing kind of this Ace Frehley, what I thought of as an Ace Frehley, you know, Frehley's Comet song.
Yeah. The first time I heard it on Revenge, I was like, wow, this is really weird because I'm sure I've heard this before. And
yeah.
That's when I remembered that it was on Frehley's Comet.
I like the thing at the beginning, like the little sample. Sounds like a cartoon, like,
oh, yeah.
Like running, I guess, or something. I think it's kind of cool, but... Again, too much reverb, too much high vocals. Not really any. I can't tell you what the solo sounds like. And for everything that he's ever done in Kiss, I can tell you what the solo does. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That's where the like. I don't know why on his solo stuff, there's he just doesn't have this iconic thing anymore. Even though he's still Ace Frehley, but he just. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's never this. I can't think of any of his. Except for the 78 solo record. After that, I can't think of any of his guitar solos that are like, that stick in my mind. You know what I mean?
No, it's just more like
he's just kind of noodling through his, all of his licks, you know, and just putting them in random orders. Because he always does the same shit. Like, I do the same shit too on all my solos. Every guitar player does, but I don't know. There's just, I don't know if he was just really lucky in Kiss and just somehow. Was channeling something that I don't know what it is, but like, you know, like you, if I said Calling Dr. Love, you immediately know what that solo sounds like, right?
Right.
But if I say Breakout, can you don't know what the hell I'm talking about? You know what I mean?
Right.
No one does.
Do you think that it was, you know, the fact that he had, you know, probably somebody in there calling the shots and pushing him, and you know what I mean? Whereas once he got into the studio. To do his own record, he was like, that's good enough.
I don't know, man, because, like, I mean, he called his own shots on the 78, and there's, it's fucking great, you know?
Yeah, good point.
I don't know if it was just that he was older or that he had, I don't know, like, the chemicals had taken something away. Yeah. Or maybe it's like Paul said, where he really hasn't grown. And I hate when Paul says that, but, you know, I think he might be right a little bit.
Yeah, what do you think, Andrew?
I concur.
Or is it the simple fact that, you know, like the Kiss music is like, it's more rock and roll, so it's more like his blues-based pentatonic shit fits over it better because it's more basic rock and roll, right. Whereas the shit with Frehley's Comet isn't like that at all, you know?
Yeah, if you listen to, like, Todd Howard's stuff reminds me more of something that, like, if you listen to it, you're like, I could see Journey playing this.
I was thinking today that it reminded me of Winger.
Winger, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move forward. Into the Night. First single. Yeah. It made it to 27 on the mainstream chart.
This is my favorite song on the record. I know it's a cover or whatever, but it's great.
Yeah, it's a good song. I like it a lot. And the video was kind of cool. I was like, can you imagine just walking around the street in Aces?
Yeah, he's carrying a guitar case. And I always liked that video, and I saw it a lot on MTV when I was a kid.
You know, I didn't, but when I remember seeing it a couple of times, but when I did see it, I remember feeling so lucky.
Yeah, I just remember thinking, wow, what is that crazy guitar he's playing?
Yeah, somebody was selling one online the other day, and it basically said that it was a shitty guitar for sale that might have belonged to Ace Frehley or something like that.
Hmm. Those were made by Washburn as well. Weird looking, though. Yeah, I didn't like those.
Absolutely.
Ace needs a Les Paul, dude. The only other thing he looks cool with is like that Carina Explorer, you know?
Yeah, that's true. The Explorer.
Or the Destroyer.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty... Yeah, I guess... Yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, man.
You know what I mean, man.
All right, let's see. Next track. Something Moved.
It's Down There.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's the song when I listen to it, I think Journey.
Totally.
I think Seinfeld.
You think what?
I think Comrade said that a while back, but yeah, just it's like the masseuse.
Yeah, totally.
I think it moved.
It moved, Jerry. This is one of the stronger ones that Todd does on the record, I think.
Yeah, this is he wrote it. It's probably for me, like I think the strongest vocal on the whole record.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. A little too high to my ear, but that's been said.
Yeah,
I think he's a pretty good vocalist, but I just, you know, that's just not my thing.
I think that having him in the band, because Ace's vocals are Ace's vocals. You know, it's a specific style,
right?
You know, and then what? You know, but what Todd Howarth is a singer. Does that make more sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Whereas Ace is just kind of more or less just almost like he's talking.
Talking, yeah.
Yeah. And Todd's like a way more like technical player too. Like he's doing like the beginning of that song. Ace could have never came up with that riff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just not his style. And at the time, I thought it sounded really cool because it was more like the 80s, you know, more influenced by Van Halen than Ace Frehley. You know, he was like one of those guys that, you know, went in the Eddie path.
Right. You know, like Bruce Kulick.
Yeah, but Bruce is still more on the bluesy side, even when he was trying to be Eddie, I think. You hear a lot of Clapton and Bruce, you know? I do.
You guys, next track. We Got Your Rock. I don't even have anything to say about this.
I always just think about that KST with like the cross. The
cross chop.
The cross chop. We got your rock.
Right here.
Yeah. I know. I think that song is one of the corniest ones that I've ever heard Ace do.
Yeah. My notes just say, we got your rock - hate.
Yeah. That song is, I mean, even besides the corniness of the "we got your rock right here" thing, the rest of it's just corny, man. It just sucks. We're gonna have a bunch of really mad Ace Frehley fans after they hear this episode. But
if you're,
I mean,
bitching
think about
it. That, there's worse things in life to bitch about. So
right,
yeah, and they'll get over it. I promise, they're okay. They love Ace like we do, and they know that you can't love everything. And to be fair, you know, half the songs we've gone through so far, we've dealt with. We've said they were all right, right? Into the Night, Breakout, we like. Rock Soldiers, we like. Something Move, we like. I mean, the first four songs, we didn't have really a lot of bad stuff to say about them. But then you get to Love Me Right. And I don't like that song either.
I don't like that one either, man. It's... You know, I used to listen to this album all the time, and when I was listening to it today, I didn't even remember that song until it came on. You know what I mean? It's forgettable. It's everything I hate about the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a cock rock. I don't like the cock rock music, and I don't like all that hair band shit. It's not for me.
Well,
even though it was at the time a little bit,
yeah,
you know?
I used to love the hairband stuff, but that being said, Love Me Right is not good. We haven't heard from Andrew. Do you like that song?
No.
No. Okay. He's one worded it. No. Now, yeah, it's not memorable either. You know, it's
a throwaway, bro.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's a stinker.
It's a, a stinker. Calling to You. I like this song a lot.
I like this one a little bit, too. I mean, of the songs on here, it was one of my favorites as a kid, for sure.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like that Cheap Trick song, Reach Out.
I was thinking that, too. That's really weird.
I had heard on somebody's podcast, it might have been on one that Mitch had done or something, that actually Ace had heard the Reach Out song. And I think Todd had something to do with the writing of that, and he wanted to, like, just kind of redo it, more or less. I can't remember whose podcast that was. I think it might have been Mitch's, though.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. you know, so far, we're how many songs into it? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven songs into it, and we've liked four or five out of the seven. That's really better than I expected.
Yeah, but me, you know, saying that we, I'm just saying,
yeah, I know I can we're dealing with them, right? Yeah,
yeah. It's like I'm never gonna listen to CD again, probably.
Right. Now, the next song is Dolls.
Dolls. I loved it when I was a kid, but it's one of the worst ones on here, I think.
See, I liked it when I was a kid, too. And I also, one of the things that I really liked about it was the end. Because is that not Monique, his daughter? That's her name, right? Monique?
Yeah, it is Monique.
She's singing on it, right?
Yeah.
And I always thought that was kind of cute, you know?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and the, but that one vocal in the like is a it's like in the bridge where they're going loo loo. It's like I don't know what the hell is happening. I'm thinking
I don't either, man.
This is the weirdest thing that is in an Ace Frehley song at all. I've never you know, and yes. You know, and what he's singing about is not dolls like. His daughter singing about in the end of the song.
Right. It gives a kind of a like a bit of a creepiness, I think.
Yes, a bit, a lot. Waiting just to please me freely. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You think he knows that he said his name freely?
Yeah.
Then he complained about it.
I think that it's like... Ace had so many killer guitar tones, but on this album, man, where's his tone at? I just don't hear his tone in it at all. Yeah. I think it's just washed away in all this, like, reverb.
Well, you know, back in the, you know, back when this album came out, you know, record labels were running everything. You know, if you, as a matter of fact, if you brought up Winger earlier, and I remember reading an article with Red Beach where he said, you know, everything about that band was put together from the guitar tone to how they wore their hair.
I can believe it.
So, basically, you know, there's a chance that the label got in there and said, yeah, I don't like the way that sounds. I don't know how they could ever do that.
Maybe, like, the whole Les Paul Marshall thing was not cool at the time. They wanted, like, the whole super processed, you know,
yeah,
state-of-the-art Van Halen tone or whatever. Trickster, what have you?
Trickster. That's it's a little before Trickster. I don't know why that one
came out, but yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Just like the worst of the worst.
Let's see, what's next? Stranger in a Strange Land.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the Maiden.
Maiden, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So much better.
Way better. That's another stinker, I think. Yeah,
I don't mind it too much, but it's just... Like you said, it's not something I'm just going to throw on and go, man, I really want to hear Frehley's Comet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For me, if I think about I want to hear Frehley's Comet, it's Rock Soldiers or End of the Night, and that's about it.
Yeah. This and Second Sighting is like the dentist office soundtrack of the Ace Frehley catalog.
Yeah, because once he dropped the whole Comet thing, and you know, like Trouble Walking's good, I think. I don't know what it... I just don't... You know... I don't know. I think for me, a lot of it, too, is I didn't like his band. I like Anton, but I didn't like John, and I thought, or Todd, and I thought John looked a little too square to be in a rock band.
Oh, how bothered me with the shoestring tie, you know?
He looked like he would be, like, in one of those, like, Church Toto. Where,
yeah, Toto.
You know what I mean? Someone, you know, I found the, you know, in Africa or whatever that band was.
Yeah, Toto.
Yeah. Yeah, and like after seeing that live plus four, man, I would urge you, anyone. Right,
I don't know if you have to pay for that.
No,
no.
But I think anyone that really digs this should just watch that live plus four and realize fucking terrible, even live.
It's like they didn't even have Anton. Yeah, Anton though, man, you know.
Anton's a good drummer, but on that live plus four, he's not even on there. It's some other dude who's playing everything totally messed up. He ain't even playing Shock Me Right. It's weird. I'm becoming like the Frehley's Comet hater sounding guy, but man, I just don't dig it.
Well, that's okay, man. It's all right to have your own opinion. Let's go to the last song.
Thank God.
Fractured 2.
I like this, but I find it to be a little bit kind of unnecessary.
Okay, you know yeah. See, it's funny because my notes say, like it, not necessary for a fractured 3 or 4.
Right. I think that it's cool that he would do an instrumental, but I think he should do a different one in a different key, you know?
Yeah.
The whole A minor, it's cool, but I don't know. Do some, you know, how many versions does he have of that now? It's like 5?
4. Yeah, 4, yeah. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, it was cool that you paid homage to your first record. I think that's basically what he was doing, you know?
Yeah, that was cool.
But you didn't need to do it again and again on a couple more records. But and it was basically still felt like the same song.
Yeah, just a different version of it.
Yeah, I know if he sat down, he could write something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's Ace fucking Frehley, man.
Yeah, he sure was, man. I love that dude, but I just don't understand what he was thinking at the time. Like, I guess he was thinking at the time like we thought at the time that it was pretty cool, I guess. Man, oh man, I guess that's why he doesn't play many of these songs live anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously does Rock Soldiers, you gotta do that. Right. But he doesn't. Oh, and he did do Breakout when I saw him last time. But I think that's the only ones he did from this.
Yeah, I did not see him because he did not come to Atlanta, Georgia.
That's crazy.
I'm still mad about that anyway. Mm. All right, well, that was our review of Frehley's Comet. I said comment thinking I'm going to get comments. But Frehley's Comet, anyway. You can send all your hate mail to jodyhavenot@gmail.com.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. PodcastRockCity1 at, that's number one.
Number one.
Thank you. @gmail.com.
Gstring.com.
Yes, absolutely. And before we move on, don't forget that you can always send us mail. And please, 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 I know you guys have been doing it lately, and I really appreciate it. Go on to iTunes and leave a review for the show. And that helps us in the rankings. All right, so that brings us to our favorite part of the show, and it is called
Ask Andrew.
Yes. Deep your voices. It's so awesome.
I just don't like singing. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Anyway, this week's question. Oh, let me tell you what Ask Andrew is first. Andrew's like 40 years old. No, I'm kidding. He's 22 years old.
The back of a 40-year-old.
Yes. And that's funny. And it's because he's so young, people are always going, hey, man, what does Andrew think of this? So people write in. It's called Ask Andrew. And you can send us in your questions for him. It could be on any subject that involves Kiss. This week's question comes from Hoops. He's a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oops. And then basically really cool. What his question was, we can all answer this one, but let's start with Andrew. You're doing a solo record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick a member of Kiss to play on it.
Alive or dead?
Yep.
Probably Bruce Kulick.
Really? Why? Yeah. Tell me why.
Because he's, I think technically he's the best guitarist, and I love his playing the best out of all of them. I know that's sacrilege, too.
No, it's not. People love Bruce.
But so yeah, that's probably Bruce.
You know, and knowing you and the kind of music that you're into, Bruce would fit you.
Well, I think Paul would be, like, you know, just too cool all the time. I just wouldn't want to play. I'd just be... Yeah, it's Paul Stanley in my band.
Yeah, you want to sit down and have a cup of coffee? Chill out and talk. What about you, Jody?
Oh, man, that's a tough choice. You know, I love Paul a whole lot, and I love Ace a whole lot. But, you know, I think I might go with Gene only because he would promote the shit out of it for me. You know what I mean?
He'd be like, yeah. What would the album would be called? Jody and the... Jody Have Not and the Gene Simmons and
Two Assholes.
Yeah.
Sometimes two assholes are better than one.
Nice. Thank you very much for that, Andrew.
No problem.
I'm missing out on his Gene lately.
Yes, that's true. If I did a solo record, which probably will never happen, I would... I think that I would... probably want to play with Paul Stanley. Just yeah, I think that it would be that the opportunity to write with him and play guitar with him and just sit on his lap and have dinner. And Joseph. Joe and Paul sitting in a tree. No, I just love Paul. I mean, that's the only problem. It's like it's a big. I think that he would be a lot of fun to hang out with, and he would probably.
You guys make meatballs together.
Yeah, and a pizza.
Hell yeah.
And that Brussels sprout thing.
Oh yeah, the Brussels sprouts.
What if like someone like got Peter to just sing a fucking rock song? That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Speaking of Peter, have you guys seen the commercial yet? The car commercial with Beth?
Yeah, that was weird.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, man. It's this guy.
What's the deal?
He's driving around with his kids, and his wife is calling him through the car. You know, the phone's ringing, and it says Beth. And it's like, Beth, I hear you calling. And it's nice. Like me and the boys are playing. It's him and his kids, and they're doing all these fun things. And then
and they're at a music store, and they just can't find the sound.
Yeah. And then they're showing them do like all these fun things together. I think they're bowling and they're by the music store, and then they're doing the Mentos and Diet Coke, and it's just dad and his kids, you know. But you know, so basically, it's really weird. Here's the thing: online, everybody, instead of the first thing going, man, how awesome is it that Beth is in a car commercial? No, this is how the comments go. So who you think's making money off of this? You think Peter's getting anything? But he's one of the writers, right? So he has to get money.
Yeah. Is he credited as a writer? I thought it was just like Penridge and Ezrin. And...
No, he's credited. And if
he's got to see something.
Yeah, so he gets about a third of the money if there's three. But, you know, unless he sold it, you know.
Right.
But yeah.
I figured you were going to say people were like, oh my God, Kiss is a sellout.
No, everybody knows that.
Right, that's what I was gonna say.
No, but there are. That's immediately, you know, who the question comes up: who's making money off of this? And I'm just like, wow, you're missing the point, man. They figured out a way to get Beth into a commercial. Somebody,
I think it's pretty cool. I mean,
I think and the commercial's funny, you know, and it's cute. And anyway, what the hell?
If they can do it with, you know, Dr. Love, why not Beth?
Yeah. In the story, at least Beth and the song lyrics tells the story of what you're seeing in the commercial, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Anyway.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll have to Google it up, I guess.
Yes, got to watch it. All right, so you guys have anything to add for the day, Mr. Jody?
I would say, you know, the usual thanks for listening and all that good shit, but also happy birthday to Paul Stanley, the king of rock and roll. It's coming up in a couple days, so it'll be before our next show. So happy birthday, Paul Stanley. Love you. Yes,
absolutely. Mr. Andrew Kiss?
Actually more than a few episodes back. I'm going to have to – is it called a retraction when –
Sure, yeah.
Newspaper
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I finally got to say, and this is me being totally selfish and worried about something I said in the past, but I said how it was kind of funny and a little embarrassing that I like Shinedown. Well, fuck that. You know, I like them.
Well, good for
fuck,
you.
I'm not embarrassed anymore.
Good
yeah,
for you. Hey, you want to know something, Andrew? You know who I like?
Who?
Britney fucking Spears.
Oh, so I like the Children of Bodom, Oops, I Did It Again cover. Which See? Is funny, because that's one of Alexi's best solos, and it's on a Britney Spears cover.
Sometimes Britney can bring out the best in a man.
I think so.
I would love that opportunity. All I would need is 45 seconds, and we would have time to cuddle.
Damn.
Anyway, well, thank you guys for listening. Remember to go to iTunes, check out podcastrockcity.com, and we love you! That was for Paul Stanley's birthday. Talk like Paul Stanley good. On his birthday. Talk like him, and drive your girlfriend / boyfriend who's not a Kiss fan crazy. It'd be awesome, especially at dinner time. You'd be like, hey, pass the ketchup. That was terrible. I'm sorry.
This is normally Szechuan chicken. What happens if we always get there?
All right. We love you guys. And we love Kiss Podcast. See what I did right there? And we always listen to them and we support them. And you're going to hear all their commercials in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
We'll be right back. Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss Talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album.
Kiss podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan, with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me, and as far as I'm concerned, that's all I.